Perfect. How's everybody doing today? Good. Everybody's out enjoying their last weekend of camping. It's a beautiful weekend to do it. It's not blazing hot. Not so bad. So I had a yard sale this weekend. It was quite fun, except for it was way too hot. Haven't done one in, I don't know, 15 years or something. So it's kind of a fun experience getting to see the different people that travel through. And this one couple, actually a group came through, another pastor up in our neighborhood came through with a group of people praying for the neighborhood. And of course, I know him from the pastor's groups that I'm in. And we started talking, and he introduces me to this other guy who's training under him to be a pastor. And I was like, okay. And they had this young girl with them, and she wanted one of the bows we had. And she's like, but I don't have any money on me. And I'm like, well, just take it. And he's like, no, no, I'll come back. I'll pay for it. And I was like, whatever, I don't care. Just take it and have fun. So he shows up an hour or so later to pay me for the bow, and I had totally forgot about it. So I was just happy a kid was going to go use it. And he gets out, and we begin talking. He came back with his wife, and so he introduces me, and yeah, this is the pastor out at the Life Center. And she goes, no, it's not. He's like, well, he told me he was. And she goes, well, no, he's not. I was just there and visited, and I saw the pastor, and that's not him. I was like, when were you there? And she was like, well, I was there 3 weeks ago, and he was amazing. He was a great speaker. I'm like, I mean, Dan's pretty good too. So she thought Dan was the pastor, and so it was kind of fun. Never know who you're going to meet or how it's going to roll. It's always a good time. Dan is awesome. We love him. Glad to have him, his family here. Of course, they choose to do fun things when we're supposed to be out of town. Maybe we'll have to cancel our anniversary trip and stay in town. Will that give me brownie points? Can we take a poll? Might be my last anniversary if I do that. I could get closer to Jesus. It's awesome and amazing, and we get to use our gifts and talents wherever we go, not just Sunday morning church, but we should be using them 24/7 wherever God takes us. That is our mission field, our ministry field, whatever we're doing, wherever we're engaging, even if it's at a yard sale. We should be engaging people as Christ would engage people, loving them as he would love them, and showing his grace and mercy as he would do. So just remember, we are always on mission. The mission is declaring the gospel of peace that Jesus brings, declaring his salvation that he has paid for. They just have to pick it up. We have to receive it. It's ours. It's already been paid for. Just have to go pick it up. Say, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. All right, we're in the Freedom Series. We're going to wrap it up this week, number 6 in the Freedom Series. I was really struggling this week with what to call it. And I think freedom to be dot, 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 or freedom to dot, 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 or we could even go a little Shakespeare, freedom to be or not to be. So freedom to be me, who God created us as individuals to be, and being okay with that, being all right with where God has planted us in this season, this moment of life, because we know the one constant in life is change. Things are always changing. Life is always changing. Situations are always changing. Occupations and relationships are always changing. And what we need to do is to change with them and keep up with God and what he is doing in the earth, because what he was doing 10 years ago isn't necessarily what he's doing today. He's trying to move us along our journey in relationship with him and grow and develop and mature us. If we will partner with him in that and not hang up on our last great moment in God, the last great thing he did, because he has more great things in store for us. So freedom to dot, dot, dot. What do the dots represent in your life? I walked into my daughter's room this last week. I'm a mess. Can't talk about your kids, right? But she has this trophy on her wall, a little trophy about this big. And it is from their perfect season of basketball. They lost every single game perfectly. That was a tough season of life to walk through. As a bunch of young high school athletes, she joined the team, never having played basketball before, as a senior in high school, so that they could have a team, because you have to have five players to start the season. So she joined so they could have a team and start the season. They needed to acquire a couple more to be able to be eligible for districts and state competition if they made it there. And they did gain a couple more throughout the season to be able to go and play in a district game. But they were all pretty novice at basketball. Hadn't played it a lot. But they played with heart, and they gave 100% of everything they had in every game they played. And some teams even beat them by 90-plus points. Like, their goal for the season was to get double digits. A realistic goal. We have to know where we're at and what we're free to be and set realistic goals. They knew they weren't going to be the state championship team. I think they all went into the season knowing that. But they set some realistic goals. Let's make double digits. I want to make 1 3-pointer this season. I want to make a free throw this season. I want to give the best of my ability to my team all season long. I want to get out and give 100% to my team all season long. So eventually we got down to the district championship games. Okay, first round games. And there was this gentleman in Spokane that somehow had picked up what they were doing and heard about basketball down here. Of course, it's in the newspapers. And he saw how this team had beat them by, I think it was 92 or 94 points. Right? Oh, 96, sorry. 96 points. And then he saw that they went to play their next game after being beat by 96 points. And he said, any team that will get back on the court after a defeat like that, I want to be their champion. I want to be their fan. So he showed up to the district basketball game and took the whole team and their families out to dinner, paid for it all, and then he had them all these little trophies made because they were champions in his eyes. They were free to dot, dot, dot. How will you conduct yourself when all of life is set up against you? When it looks like the deck is stacked against you? Because this is what God is asking of us. To do all that he's asked us individually to do with what he's given us to do. He's not asked us to be the championship team all the time. Sometimes he asks us to walk through life with the defeated record and not the undefeated record. The key is knowing, is this where God has me or is this where I have me? Because we want to be where God has us. And being okay if it's on the undefeated season or if it's on the championship season. And saying, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to glorify your name wherever I'm at in life. And what that undefeated season might look like could be a myriad of things. It could look like health problems. It could look like relationship problems. It could look like emotional problems. It could look like financial problems. It could look like, put your word in there. But walking through it, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said it this way. Success is going from failure to failure with the least loss of enthusiasm. That's success. It's walking out what God has set before you. Freedom to dot, dot, dot. while giving him glory and honor, making him look great while you're doing it. These girls played their hearts out all season long. Their coaches, they coached their hearts out all season long. And from where they started to where they finished was amazing. They all grew and matured as athletes, as citizens, as individuals. They probably learned more this season than any other team. But what will you do with the hand you're dealt in life? Will you give it your all? Now, some people wouldn't even have joined the team, like, nope. Oh, the championship team, I'll join that. And even if I sit on the bench, I still get to be part. I'll join that team. That's an easy join. But a team that doesn't look like it has the potential, that looks like it might not be successful, sometimes God asks us to join that team in our walk with him. And will you walk with somebody in their misery, in their pain, in their suffering? Will you walk with them through that in that season and do it well, giving honor to God? Because as we talked about last week, free to be holy as I am holy, that's what that looks like walked out in our lives. As we're walking out, and it doesn't matter what life throws at us, whether I'm here or somewhere in the middle, I'm going to give all glory to God. I'm going to give 100% of my time, talent, and treasures and ability to the kingdom of God, to serve his purposes that he's set before me. I'm going to love people well, and I'm going to love God well in all that I do. That's what he asked of us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. I'm going to read through the passage and then we'll pick it apart. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. The living stones and a chosen people. Verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you who are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Freedom to be living stones. If you can think about the body of Christ, not just that's alive and well today, but since the foundations of the earth, we are all living stones, part of God's masterpiece, being built, created, developed. I love that it's living stones. Because dead stones just sit there and they don't move. And of course, it's metaphorical, unless you're a rolling stone. But we're supposed to be living stones, which means we're active, we're alive, we're well, we're being part of, we are solid, but still actively part of the foundation or the building of the bride of Christ that he's creating within us. Verse 4, as you come to him, we have an invitation to come to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Answering that call is what we call salvation. Since I've come to Jesus, I realize that I am not enough on my own. I realize that I need a Savior. And His name is Jesus. As we come to Him, invite Him into our lives, accept salvation that He has paid for, and then invite Him also to be Lord of my life. Now, not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my ways, but your ways. Not my words, but your words be spoken through me. And He begins to refine our lives, and it's a process that we get to walk out with Him. But as we come to Him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him. Chosen by humans. God's inviting us to be like His Son, Christians like Christ. But it may come with a price tag of being rejected by humans, but chosen by God. Your freedom to ... might look like rejected by humans. But know that you are chosen by God. Jesus Christ Himself was rejected by humans. We are called to be like Him. Not always the easy path. Not always the fun path. But it is a worthy call and a worthy path to be chosen by God to do what He's called us to. Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I love the being built. I built houses for several years, and I love to get there and start the excavation and dig out the dirt and create a flat space and then compact the dirt and pour the concrete and then start flooring and framing, and pretty soon you got a roof, and pretty soon you're doing drywall and finishing touches, and then you move on. But inside of us, we are being built. We never showed up, scratched a little dirt, and then the house appeared. It took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of labor, a lot of hours working on the project, thinking through the project, constructing, building, getting materials to the site. This is how it's supposed to look in our walk with God. Excuse me. But it is a process, so don't get frustrated by it. I'm not where they're at. Do you know what they've walked through to get where they're at? Do you know what freedom to ... in their life took place so they could get to where they are today? So rather than compare ourselves one to another, know that you are a vital piece of the body of Christ, and you complete the body of Christ. And in its fullness, when we reach our maturity in Christ, we bring the best version of ourselves to the completion of the foundation of Christ, our place as that living stone. Sorry, I have a tickle. I think it's telling me I need ice cream. Anybody else get in that? Just making sure it wasn't just me. I know a place, but they're closed on Sunday. Which I love, because that means they're here. So God's offering, or inviting us rather, to this holy priesthood. The priests of the Old Testament, they did the service of the Lord in the temple. This side of the cross, we are the temple. Which means to be a holy priesthood means I am actively doing the work of the Lord in my temple. Which means I'm actively doing the work inside of me to walk out my salvation, to be Christ-like in all ways of thinking, of deeds, of speech, and actions. I'm walking out in my community of believers and non-believers what it looks like to be Christ-like. That's what it looks like to be a holy priesthood. So we're actively working and serving the kingdom of God with everything He has given us. those offerings that are presented sacrifices before the Lord, that are pleasing to Him. Sometimes it's fairly easy. Or I should say easier, maybe. It's easier to present an offering of a lamb when you have flocks of 1,000, if we talk Old Testament. Or to bring some grain for a grain offering when you have bins full of grain. But sometimes God asks us to give out of our lack and not our abundance. And sometimes He asks us to give out of our abundance as well. Sometimes He asks us not to give. But doing what He's called us to do in that moment, being willing to have that sacrificial offering, Lord, is this acceptable and pleasing to You? What's God calling you to offer? I have many of those in my life that I can look back on where I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What do You want from me today? Eventually I'll get smart enough to quit asking that question. No, it's always a good sacrifice to the Lord. Some of them are more painful than others. Some of them involve more sacrifice and suffering than others. But you cannot outgive God. No matter what you do, you can't outgive the Lord. Just remember that. That's the truth of His word. Verse 6. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Sometimes freedom to ... looks like freedom to trust. Do you know that you have freedom to trust? Is it hard for you to trust? God gives us freedom to trust. Are we exercising that freedom? Sometimes we say things like, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. That's kind of an American slogan, not a biblical slogan. Jesus says, burn me 7 times 7, and I'll still forgive you. How many times should I forgive an offense? Well, let's start with 7 times 7. Per brother, per offense, or sister. What does it look like to trust? Trust is a delicate subject, or can be, but you can trust Jesus in all His ways. You can trust your Heavenly Father in all His ways. You can trust the Holy Spirit's guidance, leading, and direction. He will never fail you. Humans will fail you. Eventually, I believe it was Todd White talking about he had a man come to him and say, I want you to be my mentor, or something like that, a father figure in my life, something like that, a father figure in his life. And Todd's like, I don't want that responsibility. He's like, because the first time you call and I don't answer, your trust is broken and you've been failed and you've been wrong and now you're going to get offended. But what I want you to do is seek your Heavenly Father, because He's always available and He will never leave you, and put your trust in Him. He said, I'll still be here to talk with you, to commune with you, to grow and sharpen, strengthen each other, encourage each other, but your rock, your foundation has to be in the Lord, because He will never leave you. I'm going to fail you eventually. I'm going to be somewhere I can't take a phone call. I'm going to be somewhere I can't send a text. I might be in the woods for a week and out of reception. Make sure your trust is in your Heavenly Father. Make sure your trust is in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Don't put your trust in the wrong spot. Verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We have freedom to believe or not believe. You have that freedom of choice to believe or not believe. Verse 8. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. We have freedom to obey or disobey. We get to choose what we're going to do with God's commands that he gives us in his word. What are you going to do? I like 8 out of the 10. So I'll obey 8. 80% still passing. No, God wants our complete obedience in all things that he commands of us. But we have that freedom. If we disobey, we will stumble and fall. And it will be a hard stone that we fall upon. It will hurt. Verse 9. This is God's will for us. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is God's will for us. We are his people. Humanity, made in his image and likeness. He has chosen us. He has called us. He wants us to be out of darkness and into the light. He gives us that invitation, but we have the freedom to choose to be or not to be. What do you choose in your life? I used to choose to not to be. And then as I walked with God, I began to choose to be. And now I try to always choose to be someone who glorifies and honors God, someone who is an example of who Christ is to those around me. Verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We have freedom to receive mercy. Who would not choose mercy for themselves if they had a choice? Jesus Christ offers us this choice. He said, Arby, I've paid for it. Receive my mercy. Receive my grace. Your sins are paid for. And I want to write your book or your name in my book of life. I want to put your name there. Will you receive it? We baptized 5 people last Sunday. It's pretty awesome. In the river, they received the mercy of God. They accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as an outward expression and in obedience to God's word, they went and were baptized in water, just as Christ was. You know, all heaven rejoices when that happens. It says all of heaven, the angels rejoice more over one person receiving that mercy, saying, God, I need a Savior, than over all of our righteousness when we walk rightly before the Lord. Heaven is more excited about one lost person coming to knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I hope we celebrate it that well, because that's awesome. And that's why we're here, doing the Lord's work, telling people about the goodness of his gospel of peace, telling people about his salvation, his mercy available to them. In John chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, John 6, 5 through 13. This is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and just the freedom to be. Maybe you'll find yourself somewhere in this passage, this story. Maybe it'll be someone in the crowd. Maybe it would be one of the disciples. Maybe it would be the boy that brought the lunch. Maybe it would be the mother that packed the lunch that the story doesn't even really mention. So thinking that there was a mother somewhere behind the scenes that packed this lunch. Maybe it would be in the women and children in the crowd that don't even get a mention, and only the men of 5,000 in number get a mention. Someone overlooked in society. But whatever position you find yourself in, you have freedom to ... in that situation, in that position. Those dots should be to glorify and honor God. Those dots should be to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Those dots should be to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what those dots should end up being in our lives as we live them out. But the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Jesus is looking at this giant crowd. The word says 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Like, I'm looking at y'all going, "I can't feed y'all. And there's maybe 150 people here." But he's looking at 5,000. "Hey, where should we get dinner for these guys?" Asking his disciples, does Jesus ever ask you impossible questions? "Arby, I want you to be a pastor of a church." "No thanks, Lord. I prefer guiding. Mules don't talk back. They occasionally bite and kick. And hound dogs only sing good songs." But what God asking you that seems impossible, that maybe doesn't seem like what you want to do or your plan or fit your schedule? Jesus, in the flesh is asking his disciples in this moment, "Where are we going to get food for all these guys?" And maybe you're someone in the crowd who's just sitting and learning and growing and curious and seeking, because this whole crowd had come from the local village nearby that had heard about his miracles and wonders and the ministry he was doing. And they were just coming and curious and genuinely wanted to know, who's this Jesus guy? Maybe you're in that boat. Maybe you haven't had a relationship with the Lord. And you're just curious, like, what's it all about? Is it real? Is it just made up? Is it folklore? Or is there something to this Jesus that's deeper than the natural realm? As it says in his word, that we have freedom to experience the supernatural. We have freedom to experience the Holy Spirit's work in our lives that can do things beyond our measure of ability and strength, of our wisdom and talent. We have freedom to make the impossible possible. We have freedom to... God gives us access, but we have to go and experience it. Don't stop and limit yourself at what we see physically, naturally. God offers us so much more. With Philip, he asks this question. Philip clearly had a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is speaking directly to Philip. "Philip, where are we going to get this?" I mean, it's just pretty cool that Jesus knows our name. Have you ever thought about that? The creator of heaven and earth knows your name. He knows you personally, individually. Knows every fiber of your being. If you don't know that today, hopefully you will begin to know that as you experience life with him. Verse 6, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Freedom to be tested. I don't like that one. Do you love the test God puts you through? Not always. God gives us tests to pass to show us where we are in our journey. Show us where our strengths are and where our growth areas are. man, I thought I had patience, but I found out I have a really short fuse. God gave me this test, and I smashed my finger with a hammer. I have a short fuse and a potty mouth, or whatever you call it. But as I journeyed along in life, I was one day on a roof. We were doing a roof for this older couple, and there's a bunch of churches in the valley here got together. So there's like 40 guys working on this project together from various churches around the valley. And we were putting shingles on, and I had a shingle hatchet in my hand, and I went to drive this nail. And I was kind of kneeled down on the roof, and my elbow hit my knee, which moved the hammer by about an inch just off the nail. So, and they're like a square head shingle hammer with really aggressive claws, and it just hit my finger and went pfft. And instantly I had a good blood trail to follow. And I just looked at my finger and went, ouch. Okay, 5 years before that, Arby wouldn't have said ouch. It probably wouldn't have been pretty. But in that moment, I was like, guys, I'm going to take a break and go wrap this. And they looked, and a couple of them saw me do it, and I went and took care of it, got a first aid kit and gauzed it up and got back to work. And afterwards, they're like, we could not believe you didn't cuss. Like, they expected it. I was like, why? They're like, because you really hit your finger and it exploded. I was like, and for me even, it was like, God's done some work in me. I'm a work in progress. I'm doing better than I used to do. I passed a test that day. I failed some tests since then. But the good thing about God is his goodness is so good. He says, Arby, like you flunked this 3 times in a row, so I'm going to give you a little extra tutoring, and we're going to get you to the next level I have available for you. Free to be tested by God because he loves you so much and wants to develop you into the man or woman you're supposed to be to fulfill the purposes that he's placed you on this earth for his glory and his namesake. Free to be tested. Verse 7. Philip answered him, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Free to doubt. Free to question. You know you're free to doubt and question? Just don't stay in your doubt and question. You should move through it. Lord, this seems crazy. The pastor before me, some of you may not know Pastor Kelly, but he had the dream of this building and this property 35, 40 years ago. And at the time we started talking about it, we had a little building down in Kamei that was our church. And we had this $5,000 furnace that we couldn't pay for. Free to doubt. How are we going to build this? I mean, even the property itself at that time seemed like there's no way we can pay for just the property, let alone a building on it, a well on it, electricity on it, a parking lot on it. But God was calling us to do something outside of ourselves that only he could do. In that process, sometimes there's a little fear, there's a little doubt, there's a little questioning. Lord, are you sure? And that's okay as long as we work through it and move through it and process out of it. And get back to, you know what, God? We don't have the resources. We can't do it by ourselves. But with you, if it's your will, it's your bill, and you'll take care of it. So then we begin to move forward in faith, freedom to have faith instead of doubt and fear. Faith is moving forward in what I can't see, but trusting and knowing that God is good and he's called us to it and he will make a way when there seems to be no way. And I think about the fathers of the faith in the Bible, and compared to this project, Moses standing at the Red Sea saying, I've got a couple million people I need to get through on dry ground. Again, faith. God said he would do it. I'm moving forward in what he's called me to do. So be free to have doubt and question, but don't stay there. work through it until you get back to faith and move forward in that faith. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Free to speak up. Sometimes you need to exercise your voice. Free to speak up. Use the voice God has given you. Different ones of us, God has given different platforms, different arenas that we socialize in, that we work in, that God's given us a voice to speak his truth, to speak his love, to speak his kindness to the world around us, to cause people to think about God in a positive way. Are we using our voice? Using it in a manner that glorifies God and honors him? Which doesn't mean I get to use my voice for my soapbox, my personal agendas, but I'm using it for his glory and his honor. Speak up. Verse 9. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Feel free to state the facts. Free to state the facts. Like this is, let's just say every man that was at the event had a wife and a child with him, okay? 15,000 people. We have 5 loaves and 2 small fish. I'm sure even if the loaves were this big, it would look pretty small. Hey God, this is what we have. That's what we did when we began to purchase this property and this building and do everything we've done here. And say, God, this is what we have, and we're going to offer 100% of what we have available. But you know the big facts of what we need to complete the ends. And miracle after miracle after miracle, I could tell you about that God has done to bring us to this point. God is so faithful. God is so good. Feel free to present the facts. Feel free to doubt even. But be even more free to put your faith forward. Say, God, we're doing this. You might be that mother that was packing that lunch that day. You might be the one that was making the provision. And you might have even looked at the provision and thought, this isn't enough. But when you offer 100% of what you have available to God, he can multiply it. 100% yielded heart to God is workable for his multiplication. When we offer to him what we have available, he can do the rest. The boy, he had the lunch. He could have been selfish. Because said, hey, that's my lunch. Pack your own, you lazy bum. I'm not giving that to you. Or he could be generous as his heavenly father is generous. Hey, what I have, I'll share. I'll give it up as an offering. It was his reasonable sacrifice that was pleasing and honoring to the Lord. I don't have much, but what I have, I'll offer, I'll give. And God can multiply and use it as we read on. Verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Faith without works is dead. They're standing there before the crowd, some of the disciples around Jesus, the boy with the meal. Have the people sit down. We're going to feed them. Some of the other gospels said he put them in groups of 50 or 100. We're putting our faith into action at this point. We're looking at the facts, the lack, the abundance of people, the lack of food. We're going to put our faith into action. Have the people sit down and get ready for God to show up. At this point, I would still be freaking out. Like, I feel you're asking me to do this, Lord, but the fish haven't grown yet. There's still just two little trout. Probably not catching trout over there. Probably chamba or something like that. How many of you would be like, Lord, it's not matching up? We have a city to feed with two fish and five loaves. Verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. He gave thanks. In the moment, there wasn't enough. But when he began to distribute and put his faith into further action, it began to multiply and increase. And they didn't all get a snack. They ate until they were satisfied. They ate until they had enough. Free to experience the supernatural work of God in our lives. This world might say it can't happen, but God says it's possible. If you bring me into the equation, all things are possible. Hear from Jesus, listen, and obey. You're free to hear from Jesus. You're free to listen. You're free to obey. Verse 12 and 13. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Apparently they ate all the fish. Five baskets left over after they started with not enough but for one person. This is the generosity. This is the invitation of our God to get involved. This is the experience he invites us to as we grow in relationship with him. What will you yield to God as your reasonable, presentable sacrifice? Say, God, this is what I have to give. God, I give it back to you. Part of giving our tithe and offering is just that. God, I trust you with my finances. You've given me ability to work and acquire an income. God, human science says, or human math says 100% is more than 90. God math says if you trust me with 10%, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of the rest. It doesn't make sense in human math. But I've found in my life over and over, 90% is way more than 100%. When you say, God, I trust you with it. God, I'm going to honor you with it. God, I'm going to bless your kingdom with it. And I like to give more than 10. Because our God is good and generous. And his kingdom is amazing. Are we living for our kingdom or his kingdom? Experience God living for his kingdom. Freedom to serve him wholeheartedly. And this is what it's supposed to look like in our lives as we live it out. 1 Peter chapter 4 kind of sums up what these dots should be. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 8 through 10. This whole passage of chapter 4 is titled Living for God, if you want to read the whole thing. But these three verses really sum up what those dots are supposed to be in our life. Free to, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Did you see Pastor Dan when he came to my house? He ate all my cookies. After I told him to eat as many as he'd like. He didn't really do that, just, you know. Just an example. It's supposed to offer hospitality without grumbling. Hospitality is a spiritual gift. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I'm not responsible for your gifts in the measure of using them. I can't use your gifts. I can encourage you to use your gifts. I can instruct you to use your gifts. I can even command you to use your gifts. But I can't make you use your gifts. You are responsible for your gifts, and your gifts are vital to the kingdom of God. Each of us carries something different that adds value with. And I hope that each one of us in this room and online could say, I gave 100% of every gift you gave me, God, and I gave it back to you as an offering, as a sacrifice. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are stewards of God's grace in the gifts he's offered to us. Stewards are actively working. They're actively taking care of something for someone else. And not just managing it so it stays the same, but they're growing and developing and increasing. A good steward is increasing that which was with what was entrusted to him. We are free to be good stewards. We are free to be hospitable to those around us without grumbling. We are free to love just like Christ first loved us. We are free to ... That's what this should look like in our lives. ... As you go about your week, what are the dots that God has put in your life, and he's asking you to fill in? What is your ... Who has God called you to be? What sphere of influence has God placed you in to speak his truth, to speak his love, to speak his kindness? What sphere of influence has he placed you in, ministry field, mission field, that you're already in? Or maybe you're not in it and he's trying to move you into it and you're not okay with the suffering. You're not okay with the hardship to get there. Just like these girls playing basketball. They had to keep going to practice every week. They had to keep showing up every week. They had to keep going to every game. But they eventually got to play in the district game. Or at least one of them. There's a bunch going on. They got to go participate in that. God's calling us to something greater than we're currently experiencing. But we have to keep showing up. We have to keep experiencing. We have to be okay with God. This is where I'm at. God, how do I move from where I'm at to where you want me? What's the process look like? And it's going to be different for each one of us, except for the process of getting to heaven. That one's only through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. But our journey personally, as a church body, getting to where God wants us, we have to check in once in a while. Are we still on track? Are we still on mission, Lord? Are we still doing what you've called us to do? Am I where you want me to maximize my potential and what you've called me to do, Lord? Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, your Son. And Father, we thank you for the freedom, God, to grow and experience. God, we thank you for the freedom, God, to share your love and kindness with the world around us, God, to share your gospel of peace, your message of salvation. And God, we thank you that you call and invite us, God, to be a part of your plan, God, to be God's stewards of that which you've entrusted us with, God, to be ambassadors of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you, God, that you call us to be your royal priesthood, God, carrying out your work, God, throughout the earth, wherever our feet would travel us, wherever we may go. And Father, I ask that you would just begin to show each one of us, God, the value that we add to the body of Christ. God, that would just ignite a fire inside of us. God, that would compel us to move forward in all that you've called us to. God, that we would know we are valuable. God, no matter what position we're in, God, we are valuable. God, we are highly valued and precious to you. Father, we thank you for this. God, we ask for your grace, God, to go forth and do your work. God, we ask for your love and compassion for those we would engage with. And God, we ask for your blessing of strength and health. God, to go forth and complete that which you've called us to. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.